Welcome to the Compliance Perspectives Podcast. I'm Adam Turtletaub from the Society of Corporate Compliance and Ethics and Healthcare Compliance Association. Joining us today from Richmond, Kentucky is Judy Spain. Judy is a professor of business law at Eastern Kentucky University, and she's also the Compliance Collaborative Program Consultant with Georgia Independent College Association. But most importantly for this call, she is the author of a book, The SEC and HCCA Just Published, entitled Compliance Risk Assessments and Introduction. Judy, thanks for taking the time to talk to us today.
Thank you for asking me. I'm looking forward to this.
And I'm looking forward to it too. I've looked through the book. It's really fascinating to see. And, you know, I've been working in the compliance profession for over 19 years now. And I got to say, the word that I think has changed the most in importance is risk. 19 years ago, risk management was mostly about insurance. Now it's central to compliance. You can't go 5 minutes without hearing somebody talking about risk and risk assessment. What do you think has driven the change?
You know, that's really a good question. When you think about the concept of risk, when you think about risk management, you normally think about insurance. You think about how do I transfer that risk from me to someone else and let somebody else pay for what I've done right or what I've done wrong. My husband and I have two kids, and when they were little and we would say something about somebody got hurt, they would say, well, that's okay, you can sue them. Well, yes, you can. You can always sue anybody for pretty much anything. But the bottom line is that's not about taking care of the real problem. So over the years, what's happened is we've identified that insurance can take care of some things, but they really can't fix the root cause. The insurance takes care of the after effect. Compliance is all about the effects that occurred before. So, for example, you know, how as a business can you recover a reputation or somebody's loss of life? When we lose that life or reputation or profitability of an entity, how do we deal with this? So we can buy all lines of insurance, but we're not dealing with the root cause. The issue with compliance is figuring out what is the root cause of the problem, trying to fix the problem before it becomes a problem, trying to fix the problem before you need the insurance. So we have really almost completely switched. We're not about just insuring the problem. We're trying to figure out now how to fix the problem before it even occurs.
And that's obviously much, much better. Now, where overall do you see compliance teams struggle when it comes to identifying and managing risk?
You know, I think there's a couple of things that compliance teams struggle with. I think the first is the mentality of we're in a rush to get this done. Our society is moving at a rather rapid pace, and when your boss comes in and says, hey, I want a compliance program and I want it now, all you're really interested in doing is making sure your boss is happy. But when you think about a compliance program and a compliance initiative, it's not a one-time deal. It's a cultural change. It's moving people from, again, a way of the mindset of, oh, well, we have insurance, no big deal, to the mindset of we think this is an important issue. We know that there's a law. We need to comply with the law. So let's figure out how to do that. But I think the other issue that really compliance teams struggle with, and I think to me the most important thing, is compliance is not just about compliance with the law. That to me is the bare minimum that we should be doing as our entities, our organizations, our structures. We need to be looking past just the compliance issue and looking at the ethics issue. We can comply with the law, and we have to comply with the law, but what's the right thing to do? So I think what happens is, I think it's really two things. With such a rush, we don't take time to figure out what are we really worried about. Because when you start to look at things holistically, and again, if you look at what should we all be managing, I bet if you asked individuals in your particular or entity, they really know what the concerns are. And I think as a result of that, I think if we stop being in a rush and we start thinking about compliance as just the law and think about some ethics issues, I think we're not going to have a problem identifying what the risks are and how we need to deal with them.
Interesting. And definitely taking a pause and breathing is one of the least appreciated aspects in business decision making, and often the most important one, because the knee-jerk reaction is not usually the best one. So let's take a moment and focus on the book. You've taken a very step-by-step approach to risk assessment in it, which I think will be very helpful to people. I have to admit that when I looked at all the steps, I was a bit surprised at how many of them there were. But as I read through them, it's clear that they really are all there. Can you take us briefly through the steps you outlined?
Of course. And I just like to comment, the comment about taking a breath is actually why I wrote this book. because I've been involved in compliance initiatives. And when I was involved in them, again, it was the rush mentality. Let's do this, let's do that. And really what we need to do is we need to stop and we need a plan. We need a way to move through from point A to point B. I use the analogy in the book about baking a cake. So for those of you who listen to this who don't bake, maybe this won't make sense. But for those of you who are bakers, this will. Before you even start thinking about baking something, you have to know what are you going to bake. Are you going to bake a wedding cake? You're going to bake brownies? You're going to bake cookies that your children need to take to school that day? You got to figure out what you're going to do. So the book is all about forcing you, quite frankly, to stop, take a breath, and then figure out what your plan is. So the book starts off with by talking about what is the compliance environment and the differences between risk assessment, risk management, enterprise risk management, fraud, to kind of give you a sense of, you know, really what we're talking about. But when the book really gets into the issues, it's actually in chapter 3, and the first is defining the compliance risk universe. And I think that's where we need to stop. We need to decide as an entity, do you want to look at all the federal laws that apply to your entity? Do you want to look at all the state laws? Do you want to look at all your policies and procedures? Well, if you've never done a compliance risk assessment and you try to go from zero to identifying and being and assessing and monitoring all of the laws that apply to your entity, more likely than not, it's going to fail. You're not set up for that. You don't have the compliance culture for that. You don't have the mindset. People are going to say this initiative isn't working, and you and I know how hard it is to restart an initiative. So the first step is being realistic and defining your compliance risk universe. There are a lot of entities out there in everybody's specific industry that have lists of laws that your industry is supposed to comply with. So start with that, but don't start with all of them. Think about realistically what you as an entity can do and start small to build it up. Once you sort of figure out where your compliance risk universe will be, then you need to be thinking about how you're ultimately going to assess this, which actually is in Chapter 4, but I want to talk about Chapter 6. I want to talk about Chapter 4 and Chapter 5. In Chapter 4, we talk about determining the likelihood of an occurrence. You know, if you think about something, obviously complying with the law is a given. There's a law, you need to comply with it. It's pretty simple. But is this a law that you only have to comply with once a year? There's one report that's filed with the federal government, one report filed with the state agency. I'm not saying that that law isn't important. Never would I ever say that. But if you think about how often, how likely on a particular day you're going to be dealing with that law or non-compliance with the law, perhaps that issue of non-compliance multiple times in a day, a week, a month, that law might be a little bit more important to focus on initially than a law that you only have to worry about once a year. But then when you move into Chapter 5, which is Step 3, you look at determining the impact of an occurrence. Now, again, this book is talking about compliance. It's not talking about enterprise risk management. But even in the compliance field, we still look at what things make a law. Again, I don't want to rank the importance of a complying with the law because we could have to comply with them all. But let's think about what is the impact to your organization about not complying with the law. If you fail to comply with a specific EPA or OSHA ruling regulation, your entity could be shut down. If you fail to pay a licensing fine to your state government, you'll probably get a nasty note and a penalty. Again, they're both laws, and you need to comply with them. But if you're going to prioritize your resources, particularly at the beginning of a compliance risk assessment, what law is going to have the most impact on your entity? Is somebody going to go to jail? Is it going to shut down your business? Are you going to lose your license? Are you going to have the FCC or the SEC or the OSHA or EPA come in and inspect you? So you need to be thinking about what the impact is. And then we actually move on to looking at the compliance risk assessment survey. And the survey that I have in the book is really, quite frankly, pretty simple. Step one, identify that there's a law. That's always the first step. And then identify what policies, procedures, what should you be doing to be, what are you presently doing to maintain compliance with the law? Then you move to step two. What really should you be doing to comply with the law? If you don't have a policy, what should the policy be? If you don't have procedure, what should it be? If you're required to write a report and submit it to an agency, how do you know somebody's doing that? Do you have a compliance calendar? And then the third step in the survey is, I always call the one that if I had unlimited time, talent, and treasure, what would I really want my compliance program to look like when I look at this particular law? So that moves us into chapter 7, which is compiling the results, constructing the matrix. Go back and look at the impact and the likelihood of occurrence. The more likely it is that noncompliance will occur, and the more likely the noncompliance will have a significant impact on your entity, makes that concern, I will call, right quadrant. Think of that little heat map or that dashboard that something has divided into quadrants, and your far right-hand side is going to have that red dot. And, wow, we really better worry about complying with this law and figuring out a plan. Which then moves us into Chapter 8, which is step number 6, actually implementing the plan. So each of those rules and regulations, laws, policies, procedures, whatever you've decided to assess, you need a plan to make sure that you can mitigate the risk. And by the way, this mitigating of risk doesn't mean here's a simple little plan I slap together. It's a systematic, holistic looking at what we need to do, and then looking at what we need to do 2 years from now, 5 years from now, whatever your time period is, and the fact that you're going to have to go over and over and over again this assessment process. As I mentioned earlier, assessment and compliance, they're not just a one-time deal. It's a process that we need to go through. The rest of the book talks more about the federal sentencing guidelines and institutional and entity buy-in, so they're interesting. And the book does end, by the way, with the question of, do you want to make a red velvet cake with luscious frosting, or do you want to make a plain white cake with vanilla frosting? And the bottom line is it's really up to your entity to decide what you want your risk to be.
Well, personally, I want chocolate cake, but we can work through that. Now, let me go back to the first step, which was defining your compliance risk universe. What are some good rules of thumb for defining what compliance risk is, and how do you help others realize what's really outside of the scope?
Yeah, really good question. And by the way, I don't like chocolate cake. I much prefer white cake with yellow frosting. So, but we'll worry about that issue later on. You know, when you look about what is defining a compliance risk, you need to look at your entity. First, you need to take a step back and look at what's happened over the years in terms of discipline, audit findings. You need to ask your trusted employees. I bet every trusted employee could identify very specific concerns about compliance with the law of your particular firm or organization. So go to the root cause. Go to the root issue. More likely than not, there was a law that was being violated. So once you get that first question of what is the law and what should we be looking at, ask the question why there was not compliance. If the answer is, I didn't know there was a law, then the biggest issue when you look about a risk assessment and looking at your compliance risk universe is, again, identifying the law, making sure that you're working toward a culture of compliance within your entity, but also making sure that you have communication, training, and awareness programs. If the answer to the question is, why we didn't comply with the laws, I don't care, we have a whole separate issue here. That's when we move into the culture of ethics. If we say, I don't care and don't worry about it because I have insurance, then we have a more of a systematic or holistic issue and problem within your organization. So the bottom line is the entity needs to identify what its concerns are. Every entity is going to be slightly different, but you need to start with the basics. You need to start with, quite frankly, the federal sentencing guidelines. They set forth the gold standard, the standard we should be looking at to set up an effective ethics and compliance program. So look at what laws apply to your institution, entity, your firm, your organization, whatever your whatever type of business you work for, and then define those compliance risks by just looking at those laws first. You can always move into enterprise risk management. You can always move outside. But you need to start with the basics. And again, if you've never had a compliance risk assessment before, you can't start big. Start small. Get the small little wins out of the way. Have people see that this program actually can work, because once you get that buy-in, you're going to talk that systematic level of the entity in which compliance is part of your culture and not something that people just do to get a little checkbox on their HR performance evaluation.
Well, Judy, thank you for sharing those insights into risk assessment in general and into the book in particular. I want to thank all of you for taking the time to listen. I'm Adam Turteltaub from SCCE and HCCA. I hope we're able to expand your compliance perspective.